Okay. Well, hey, let's do it. I think we're going to be a little bit pressed for time, but that's good because I don't want to just destroy you with more and more and more information. But let's talk a little bit about some of those things that you're concerned with. So, as parents, issues that you're worried about for your kids, what would you say? You know, maybe my kid's in sixth grade, about to be in sixth grade. Maybe our kid just was born, but we know they're going to be a middle schooler one day. So what are those issues? And I will now scoot back in case anybody is willing to risk being in the front row. What are the issues that you're worried about as parents? Let me hear them. Let them fly. There's no rules here. There are rules here, but you know what I mean. No hand, just go. Worried about your kids succumbing to peer pressure. Yep. What else?
Bullying.
Being bullied or being a bully. One of the two. What else? Wrong kind of friends. What else?
Hiding sin
from mom and dad. Other thoughts, other concerns about your middle school kids. Yeah.
Communication.
Sure.
Outbursts of anger.
Angry little guy. What's the deal? Other things that we're worried about. Yes, ma'am.
Repentance.
Yeah. Are they really a Christian or not? All of those topics are so good. And I think when it comes to our middle schoolers or young teens, as our kids are getting older, we're kind of talking about it in the Q&A as they're, you know, aging into this time frame where it's not just their obedience, but their little hearts are becoming bigger, and we have a lot of issues to talk about. I think as parents, we get worried about a lot of things. Is our biggest concern their relationship with Christ? I think yes for all of you. As we move from that, is it then like technology and, you know, how are they going to deal with these phones and social media? And now what's this chat GPT thing? How are my kids going to handle these issues? Choosing friends, words they'll use, attitudes that they're developing when it comes to you and your parenting. Will they be hard workers or wise? Will they ever learn to drive? Good luck with that one. All those are concerns, right? And with all those, we know that God's word really truly does give us the answers. It gives us the principles for how to teach our kids what those are about, principles for our lives, yes, but our kids' lives as well. One of my favorite books of the Bible, Proverbs, does just that. Proverbs actually speaks to all those topics, including driving. I have some verses about anger that would be appropriate for road rage, and I can share those with you after. But all of those topics are completely covered, and all of those are helpful. And I don't just want to list out issues and verses that correspond. You can do that kind of work on your own, but I really want to help us practically. Again, I've had the joy of serving as a middle school pastor for over 11 years, so I've seen a lot of things, and I've heard a lot of things, and I've certainly learned a lot from my time as a pastor here, and I want to share that experience with you, those things that I've learned. I want to share some of them with you, okay? What's the number one mistake I see parents make when it comes to middle school years? And I think we know that's like 6th, 7th, and 8th, but it can be a little bit before, a little bit after, you know, kind of choose your own adventure here. But what is it? What's the number one mistake? It's not sending your kids to summer camp. No, I'm kidding. I really do want your kids to come to camp, and we do have a great time, but that's not really it. It's something that I mentioned in that Q&A. I think for so many parents entering this new season, the common mistake that they make is staying in that protecting mode for just a little bit too long. The number one mistake is delaying preparing your kids for that next season of life. The goal of our parenting from the moment we first hold that little boy or little girl, it's so instinctual. And I know that it's to protect, that the moment that nurse hands you that kid and you're like, what, this is too much responsibility. You're coming home with us, right? Like you're just instantly like, I gotta protect this kid. You know, how do I protect him? And our parenting then from that first day becomes so protective in nature. We give them rules to keep them safe. And we already made those jokes. Don't touch the stove because it'll burn you. Don't climb the stairs because you'll fall, and all those. And those evolve as they get older. Do not turn on the TV without me because I'm worried you're going to see something you shouldn't. We turn those into all kinds of stuff. Don't hang out with those kids because nobody's corrupting my sweet baby angel. Like we just think that way, right? You with me? Totally. And so it's instinctual from the moment, again, that we first hold them, protect them from the dangers in our home, protect them from the dangers in the world outside of our home. And it, we also have to talk to, about protecting them from themselves. Parents of young teens have a hard time not just continuing on in that protection mode. I've seen it. I'm tempted to do it with my own children. But is that what's best? Is that what God really wants for us? And I believe we can learn a lot from another dad named Solomon. We can learn a lot from a dad who's, you know, mainly responsible for writing the book of Proverbs. And it's this dad who took every effort to ensure that his children would know how to live wisely in this world. And he wanted his kids to know the pathway that leads to wise living. And one of my favorite things I've learned about Solomon, and I think he displays this for all parents today, is that we don't just want to protect our kids, but we want to prepare them. Our goal isn't just to protect, but actually to prepare them to live as adults when they leave our home. Pray that this music stand can withhold this. It's real shaky. I'm going to hold my Bible. Protect, okay? It's so good. Protection, I'm with you. It's right. But there does come a moment when we have to start to think about preparing our kids for what's next, preparing them to live as young men and young women who know God's expectation for their lives. You heard us kind of differentiated a few moments ago. There are different expectations for that daughter of yours versus that son of yours. What are they? Well, we can find them here. And how can I help my children know that when they leave their home, they have a few fundamental, foundational truths in that heart of theirs? Number one, they desperately need the gospel. Our prayer is that they would have embraced it before they leave. But if not, they at least know that's the answer. And built upon that then is, now, what does my Savior expect for me to be as a young man, young woman? And those, again, are categorically a little bit different. But what Solomon was all about, what I want to get to this morning, wow, this afternoon, is that Solomon clearly wanted his children to listen to him. And if you've ever read through Proverbs or studied Proverbs, you know that that's true. He wanted them to listen to him, but not just in a protection way or protection mode, but he wanted to prepare them to live wisely on their own. If you have your Bible, you can follow along or just jot these down. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My son, if you receive my word, then you will understand the fear of the Lord," verse 5. "Then you'll understand or find the knowledge of God." So it's clear for this dad that it's personal. For his kids, this is personal. He wants them to personally know, personally live it. He wants them to understand what it is to, here's again, big picture, fear the Lord, to love the Lord and be in awe of the Lord and follow the Lord. He wants them to know that. And this wise father then says, if you do, you'll find this knowledge of God. It'll be yours to have this knowledge to use, to embrace, to let it lead your life. But not only do you have to listen to me, Solomon argues, you have to start doing this for yourself. Chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to you." Solomon's mindful of the wise living that he wants for his children. That's sons there. It's both sons and daughters. But if you listen to me and you put this into practice, that's what he's saying. This is going to prepare you for life. This is going to be so helpful for you and a guide for you. And he even says it's going to give you a long and peaceful and beautiful life. So even though our temptation is to bubble wrap this kid, and I'm going to just do that for 18 years every day, even though that's our instinct, I think it's clear from Solomon, it's not the end goal. We have to prepare them. Even behavior modification isn't what he's after. He knows that his children need to learn how to do this, how to listen to him, but put that knowledge into practice for themselves. To step back and say, now you do it. Let me see what you can do. Let me observe what you've learned from me, O child of mine. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O son, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. You know what gaining insight means? I mean, here Solomon is trying to point out that his kids would understand and know how to live for themselves. That's what it is. That's what he wants for them. I want you to know how to do this on your own one day. And that's what he's after. That's what his teaching is all about. So helping our children then to live wisely, it's of course to protect them. They have to know what the dangers are, right? They have to know, they have to be told over and over, don't touch, don't look, don't go here. But helping our children then to actually know how to live wisely on their own means we have to prepare them to think about how they'll live when it's up to them to make those decisions. We have to prepare them to do this on their own, to engage with things in their world that are not going away, that are still going to be in their face. And I would even add this, those things that they're going to have to deal with when we're not there. Those decisions that they're going to have to make when they're on their own and we're not by their side going, bad decision. Don't do that. We want to prepare them to live wisely, and we want to point out dangers they'll miss. We want to correct failures. We want to encourage success while they're with us in our home. That's what preparing is all about. As I recognize as a father that my window of opportunity is shutting, and again, I'm not trying to make you sad as you think about the time you have left with your kids, but once we hit middle school, we're more than halfway there. That window of opportunity that I have to influence and speak into my child's life. I know, Mom, I'm sad too. It's shutting. It's closing. And if I don't take advantage of that opportunity to say, okay, let's do this together. You know what God's expectation is. Now let me kind of just, let's talk about this together. Let's work through this together. Pick an issue that concerns you. An issue that you want your child to not struggle with. Again, Mom, Dad, I know instincts can be just keep them away from it, protect them until their 18th or 38th birthday or however long you're going to keep them in that bubble wrap. But we got to do better. Protecting them with no preparation is so dangerous. If I could just instill this into your parenting, if we do not prepare our kids for how to deal with that issue on their own, we're actually preparing them to fail. Okay? We're preparing them to fail on their own. No help from you, no course correction from you, no guidance. We don't want the first time they're faced with that issue on their own with no help from you. Okay? It's a bad way to go. We don't want them to learn from peers. We don't want them to learn from the internet. Please don't let that be the first time they're forced to think about that issue. So again, pick an issue. Bad time management. Sure. Social media dangers. Sure. Phones and computers and media and all those things. For fun, I'll just assume that this is a problem in your home. If your kid has a phone, I'm sure they bugged you to death to get it. And if they don't, I'm confident they're bugging you to death to get one. So this phone issue, let's just talk about that for a second. The phone, a neutral object, right? A phone, neither wicked nor good. It's a tool. It is an inanimate object that has no actual wickedness or inherent goodness in and of itself. But this is a tool that can be used well, or a tool that can be used incredibly dangerously, right? Agree with me? Okay. A tool in the hand of a foolish young person is going to be dangerous. The same tool in the hand of a young person, hear me, learning to be wise is going to be far less dangerous. Not completely safe, but way less dangerous. So let's teach our kids how to be wise. Protect them by, you know, obviously waiting until the right time. Again, each kid different. If you have a rule that on your 10th birthday, every kid getting a phone, I promise you that's going to be a bad rule with one of your children. So each kid differently. When is it time? When is it appropriate? Maybe it's a safety concern. Maybe it's, I just want to be able to get in contact with them, but let's be smart about when we give it to them. But we can also protect them. Again, protect by setting up guards and limits and protecting that phone. We can put filters on our home internet. Like, there's so many things we can do to guard our kids from trouble that phone can access. But the point is, we got to protect our kids by sort of fighting this fight for them, and then get this, prepare them to one day do that same thing for themselves. Okay? How? Well, let's start talking to them about how that phone is potentially dangerous. Let's talk to them about why we're actually doing those things that we're doing. Why am I setting up these guards for you, son or daughter? Why am I restricting our internet access? Why am I only giving you 1 hour on those apps a day? Why am I making you ask me for permission to access those things? Or how come you don't get to use your phone the way that maybe one of your peers does? Great question. I'm so glad you asked. By the way, that should be one of your favorite questions. Good. Why are we different? You better believe we're different. Have a seat. They'll learn to stop asking, I promise. But when it comes to the phone and my children, I wanted to prepare them to think about how fast does an hour go by. So when you only have an hour screen limit and that thing goes whoop, out of time and you have to ask mom and dad for more time, great, come here. Is this how you want to spend your Saturday morning here? Is this what you want to do? Sometimes it's fine, like I get it, but sometimes it's helpful for them to go, oh yeah, what am I doing? Wait, it's what time? I was doing that for an hour? Oh yeah. And you know it's dangerous because it's happened to you. What time is it? I need to go to bed. Whoa, what just happened? Right? So I want to talk to my children about the dangers that's on that phone. I want to talk to them about those boundaries and limits, and I want to tell them why those are good. I want to help them understand, you know, why you might insist on no phones at the dinner table, or why no phones in the bedroom is a good idea. Don't just do those rules. Prepare them to think about why those things are good. Why are you doing that? Or as you learn from other parents about mistakes or things that they're doing really well, or you're learning those things as you kind of study them. Yeah, like those are really great rules. Let's adopt them. But for me not to explain those to my young teen is not preparing them for why those rules are helpful. I'm not talking to them about that sinful heart of theirs that's so tempted to maybe go somewhere it shouldn't go, or to not see how a waste of a time this tool can be. I want to show them how to use that tool wisely, to live in a way that honors the Lord, and that needs to start right now. I want to prepare them to live in this world. You guys, these phones are not going away. So I want to prepare them to know how to use that thing wisely. And I'll say what we're all thinking. My kid knows more about that phone than I do. we're at a huge disadvantage. They're learning about something the same time that we as parents are learning about it. So for you to just shrug your shoulders and go, oh, well, I don't know what that thing can do. Here you go. Not okay. We have to figure out what these things are. We have to do the work to understand what is this tool. And if we don't know, find someone who does. Ask. I am so thankful that we finally turned a corner with parents of middle schoolers who aren't just going, I don't know, happy birthday, here's a phone. The number of parents who came to me and says, did you know that this phone can do this, this? And I'm like, yeah, did you not? Nobody told us. Again, we want to show them how to use tools wisely and prepare them with some experience of their own of filtering out those things that we don't want in their lives. So again, the goal one day that they can do all of this on their own. Okay. We're going to run out of time. So let me skip a little bit here. The parenting principles are still in place. You guys, you know your child best. Okay. You're making those decisions based on each child. You know your children are different, and you know when they're ready for those things that we're trying to help them think through. Again, I know I'm kind of focused on that phone, but we can apply this to some different areas of life. My point is, giving your child a phone with no preparation for how to use it wisely is a wildly dangerous idea. But again, the bubble wrap approach to never giving them those tools, and as a result, never helping them learn how to use them well or wisely, that's equally as dangerous. Okay, that's the point. We want them to be able to use it on their own. So some of my favorite topics that Proverbs discusses, obviously fear the Lord being a priority, being the number one thing. I want my child to know how desperately they need the Lord. But other topics, and again, these are great. Guard your mind, choose your friends, obey your parents, watch your words, work hard, on and on. Solomon's certainly aware of the importance of those main topics that our kids need, but he was aware of protecting his children from those things that would keep them from doing that well. But he was also very aware of, at some point, to prepare his kids to be able to do that for themselves. And in those few verses that I shared with you, I think that you catch that drift. And if that was important to Solomon, you guys, it has to be important to us. As parents, we have to be convinced of the very same thing. This matters. So with that motivation in mind, let me give you four categories of preparing your child that I think matter. Okay. Regardless of the issue, whatever it is, choosing friends, words, working hard, you know, being angry, whatever the issue, okay? Here's where we can best prepare our kids. Let's start with this. Number one, identify the biblical truth. Regardless of what's happening, I want to identify what does God's word say about this issue. For this to have any lasting effect, and I know you agree with me, this can't just be because I said so, right? Eventually that loses its power. What I want to be able to say is, son of mine or daughter of mine, the reason this matters, it's right here. Because this is what God says. This is what God's word says about this very thing. And I want you to know just how important this is. So it's helpful to point out that this isn't just you. This isn't an our home rule. It is, but it's because we're living under a bigger set of rules, a bigger set of guidelines. It's his God and it's his world and it's his way, and we want to honor him. So we want to help our kids know that this is actually what God wants for them. Psalm 119:9, again, we've already mentioned this earlier today, but how can a young person keep their way pure? By guarding it according to mom and dad's rules. Nope. By guarding it according to God's word. So I have to help my kids know what that biblical truth is. I want to go to it. Maybe I do help them memorize it. Maybe we just talk about it over and over. Maybe I, you know, in a kind way, tell them how I deal with that issue, but with this as my resource, as my help. I want to show my kids what that looks like. So preparing begins with identifying the biblical truth. Number two, talk about it more than you think. Okay, talk about it more than you think. A one-time talk on any issue, I promise you, it's not going to get it done. Okay, it's not going to be enough for your kid to really feel like they know what's going on. You have to discuss this a lot. Keep bringing it up. Keep talking about it. Think of Moses' words to parents. These words which I'm commanding you today, Deuteronomy 6:6, they need to be on your heart, mom and dad. But then he says, then you teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. We're just talking about this all the time, especially when I know this is the main issue at home, the main thing that's going on. Let's just keep talking about it. Hey, do you have questions? Hey, do you understand? Hey, we failed there. Let's figure out why. Let's talk about it. What went wrong? Let me own my fault in that. I'm sorry. I should have been a little more engaged with you on that. That's on me, but it's on you too. Why did we make that decision? All those are great questions. And I think questions is one of the best ways to gauge your teens or your young teen or about to be teen's heart, right? Ask questions. Does that make sense? Do you understand? Are you with me? Those kinds of questions can be so revelatory of where your child's at and what they're thinking. Even the question, do you have questions? I've learned that's like my new favorite question, because I'm learning they do. And I'm just assuming that my explanation was crystal clear and perfect. And it's not. So be ready to revisit topics all the time, okay? Number three, and this one is so crucial. If we're going to really prepare our kids, we have to identify biblical truth. We have to talk about it more than we think. And number three, we have to model it ourselves. Okay? We have to model it ourselves. Man, this one gets a big oof from me. You heard me in the Q&A. That was real. That was hard for me to say that. That my goal of my raising my sons is that they would be like me. Oof. That's hard. But we should be able to say that with some genuineness. Let's go back to phones for a second. Look, if you're going to tell your kid the dangers of being on that phone all the time, are you on that phone all the time? If you're going to tell them there's nothing of value or interest on this phone and you're on it all the time, that's such a confusing message. I think in my time, especially in the last few years, kids are getting phones younger and younger. The possible. I don't have any like hard research on this, but I really believe one of the greatest motivators for that is because those kids are watching their parents on their phones all the time. And they're wondering, what's so fascinating? What is it that has your attention so close? How come I can't know too? I want to know what you're laughing at. What are you looking at? What are you sending to dad? What's so funny? They're so curious about what you're so just infatuated with. So if we expect any sort of, you know, wise living kind of behavior, if the rule is no phones at dinner for them, then what does that mean for you? And work doesn't count. And if it is a true emergency, explain that. Hey, I know the rule. I just want you to know we have an emergency here. And I'm gonna deal with it. We're gonna come back. I might even pray about it, and then we're gonna go back to dinner. Because this is a no phone spot. It's way different than no phones at the table while you scroll and call and do your stuff. So we have to model it. I know we've been using phones as an example, but we could sub out any topic that you want. If it's hard for your kids to understand the rules about movies and media, and we're not modeling the expectation that we have for them, that's, again, a confusing message. If we don't use these words and as a family, but you do, that's a confusing message. if we don't guard our minds from that kind of stuff, but you are, and they know that you're watching that or listening to that or engage, that's such a confusing message. We're not modeling to our kids the truly what matters. Let me challenge you with this. Would you be willing to say to your kids, it's my job to train you up to be like me? Would you be willing to say that? I want you to be like me. And if we can't say that because of something, then there's something then that needs to change. Okay? I want to be able to say like Paul, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's preparing your kids to live in this world. Last, number four, okay? If we're going to prepare our kids well, we have to identify the biblical truth of the issue. We want to talk about this thing way more than we probably want to, but that needs to be on our hearts. Number three, we need to model this and model it well. I know we're not going to be perfect, but we at least need to try. And then number four is to not expect perfection from our children. Don't expect perfection. So surprised at how many parents expect their child to respond with a mature, well-seasoned Christian response to issues in life. Pastor Jay, you would never believe it, what my kid did and how they responded. And I said, actually, sounds like a great response. It's easy for us as parents, isn't it? We look at our kids, and when they don't respond the way that we would respond, we get disappointed. It's hard for us to remember that we've been walking with the Lord for 3 decades or 2. I didn't mean to offend some of the younger parents. It's hard for us to remember that we used to be, you know, and I'll say that, like, I wonder how you would have responded at 16. Oh, you wouldn't have even wanted to talk to me at 16. I go, well, then they're doing a lot better than you are. That's great, isn't it? Praise the Lord. What grace. How amazing. We can't expect perfection from our kids. You know, I'm going to encourage you to give equal amounts of energy to highlighting your teen's success as you do their failures. I'm going to say that again. It's easy for us as parents to see the failure, but can we spend equal effort, equal time identifying the things our kids are doing well? We don't expect perfection from them, of course, but we want to also recognize the areas that they're actually improving in. Encourage our young teens, praise them, and notice their successes with equal efforts as you do their failures. I'll say it a different way. We know that we aren't perfect, right? We know that we're far from perfect. Let's show our kids the same sort of grace as we prepare them to live wisely in this world. When they make mistakes, great, talk about it. Failure is such a great teacher, such a great opportunity to talk to my children about what's going on, what happened and why, to run to the Lord with them and seek that help that I know that they need, and I want to help them figure it out. But don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. They're not going to be perfect. We're not going to focus on the mistakes. We're not going to keep reliving the faults. If our young teen, especially those who are professing faith in Christ, we want to help them move forward. We want to help them grow in their faith and mature in their relationship with Christ. And I think we do that best by preparing them to live wisely in this world. Parents, your kids don't necessarily have to learn the hard way. You can come alongside them right now while they're in your home. Help them figure this stuff out. Okay? Preparing. It matters. Don't just protect. Prepare your kids to live the way that you know God expects them to live. Okay? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for a helpful day. Lord, I know our brains are full and we're almost at our limit. And so, Father, I pray for these parents as they continue to just soak up truth. God, even in just the last 20 minutes or so, as we've talked about preparing our kids, God, would you be so kind to us and gracious to us to want to do that? Would you give us a desire to do that? Because it's hard work. It takes more time and more energy and more effort to sit with our kids and truly prepare them for what's next. Lord, in all these areas of life, it is easier just to keep them away from it. But Father, our job as parents is to be faithful and to steward them well. God, would you give us that wisdom that we need? Would you give us that grace that we need? Would you give us that patience for our kids as they learn how to live wisely in this world from us through your word? We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.